It is Wednesday, May 8th, and I am Trent Venegas, back with a new episode of Pink is the New Podcast, where I will comment and recap all of the fun entertainment, gossipy, pop culture news from the past week. So, as usual, there are a lot of fun things that happened this week, so let's get to it. Last Wednesday, May 1st, some pretty disturbing news was reported when actor Rick Schroeder, formerly known as Ricky Schroeder, was arrested for alleged domestic violence. Now, Ricky Schroeder, who you Gen Xers and kids of the 80s may remember, starred as a cute little rich kid on Silver Spoons, and that's kind of how he got his start. He acted in some movies, like TV movies before that, I believe, but it was really Silver Spoons where he kind of got his start. He was kind of like the Mark Paul Gosselaar of the 80s, kind of like the Zach Morris is the character he played, kind of like the character he played on Silver Spoons. And then in the 90s, when he was all grown up, he joined the cast of NYPD Blue, which was famous for showing quote-unquote nudity on network television. NYPD Blue on ABC was the first network show that showed, like, asses and side boobs, I believe. David Caruso was the first lead of that show. And then when he left, Rick Schroeder joined the cast. Anyways, so that guy was arrested for alleged domestic violence. And interestingly and disturbingly enough, he was also almost arrested less than a month ago for the exact same thing. The cops showed up about a month ago after there was an altercation. I believe his girlfriend might have called the police or someone called the police. He wasn't arrested at the time because his girlfriend and the alleged victim refused to cooperate with the police once they showed up. But last Wednesday, early Wednesday morning, something happened again. The police came out and he was arrested this time. So Rick Schroeder arrested and released on bond. It was also reported last Wednesday that Instagram is rolling out a new feature where they are going to start hiding like counts on your posts. So on Instagram, you can see how many people like a post, small numbers, large numbers, you know, and celebrities have like tens of thousands or millions of likes, and you can see that very easily on Instagram. They have decided that they're going to start rolling out a feature where those like counts are hidden. You will still be able to see how many like counts you have on your photos, but they won't be publicly viewable on your feed. I believe that this feature is going to roll out in Canada first to see how it goes, and then it will be rolled out to other countries as well. I personally don't think this is going to fly. You know, not that I desperately need to see like counts, but it's, to me, it doesn't take away from the enjoyment of a photo. It's just more information on an Instagram page that you follow. So we'll see. We'll see if this idea that Instagram is rolling out will stick. I mean, I guess the goal is to make people appreciate photos without having a value system assigned to them, which I can understand. That's fine. But I don't think it's going to fly. I don't like it. So we'll see if it finds success in Canada. And if it does, then I guess it's going to be rolled out to the rest of the world. So stay tuned for that. Enjoy your like counts while you can. On Wednesday, the trailer for Handmaid's Tale Season 3 was released, And as you can see, if you watch the trailer, it's time for the handmaids to resist. Now, I was a huge fan of the first season of The Handmaid's Tale, but I have to tell you, that show kind of traumatized me. It came out right around the time of the change in administration, and I was already depressed by how, you know, horrible reality was. And then I spent, you know, the whole season just watching the world of The Handmaid's Tale unfold, and it just depressed me even further. To be honest, I haven't even found the strength yet to watch the second season. As soon as it came out, my best friend Sarah and her longtime partner Mark, they love the series, and they watched it as soon as it came out. And along the way, they were telling me, you've got to watch it, you've got to watch it. And I just was not, I just couldn't, you know, like the first season had impacted me enough, and the reality of reality was enough of a depressing thing for me. So, you know, season two was a show, season two of The Handmaid's Tale was something I wasn't ready to watch at the time. And then just since it's come out, I just haven't made the time. I am encouraged by what I'm hearing about how the third season will turn out. So I will have to watch season two to get myself ready for the release of season three. On Wednesday, actress Lucy Liu received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and her fellow Charlie's Angels co-stars showed up to support her. Drew Barrymore and Cameron Diaz came out to support Lucy Liu on her day, and the three of them kind of made for a fun little Charlie's Angels reunion. As you may know, the 70s, 80s TV series Charlie's Angels got adapted into live-action films in the early 2000s, which I loved. I loved those movies so much. I thought they were so fun, and they really stand among my favorite movies of the early 2000s. And so it was really cool to see the three angels back together again, which brings to mind that there is a new Charlie's Angels movie coming out. Now, it's been reported that this new Charlie's Angels film is called a reboot, but the studio is very adamant in making clear that it is a sequel. So just like the movies from the early 2000s kind of picked up where the TV series left off, you may recall that the older angels were shouted out or featured in the new movies. So it sounds like this new Charlie's Angels movie will be like just the next generation of angels. So the new angels will be actress Kristen Stewart, who we know from Twilight, the Twilight actress. She's going to play the wild card angel, so she's kind of like the Drew Barrymore angel. Ella Balinska is a British newcomer, and she's playing the muscle angel. So she's probably going to be like the Lucy Liu, Charlie's angel. And the third angel, Naomi Scott, is also a British actress. She starred in the new Power Rangers movie. She was the Pink Ranger. She played Kimberly. And in this Charlie's Angels sequel, she will play the brains and the heart. So kind of like the Cameron Diaz angel. So the Cameron Diaz angel, I would say, is kind of like the heart. And Lucy Liu is the brains. But Lucy Liu is also the muscle. They're all the muscle. So, I don't know, maybe they'll just be their own iterations of angels. So, Kristen Stewart, Ella Balinska, and Naomi Scott are going to make up the new angels in the new series. So, we will see how that turns out. I'm not a big Kristen Stewart fan, I gotta admit. So, I wasn't really amped on her casting, but I tend to be an optimist with these sorts of things. So, I'm going to go in with an open mind and remain cautiously optimistic. on Wednesday, the reboot of Veronica Mars was announced. So those of you fans of Veronica Mars remember that the original series ran on television for 3 seasons before it was canceled. And then a Kickstarter campaign was funded a few years after the show ended that sought to fund a feature film. And the Kickstarter campaign to fund the film was so successful that it broke records, like, instantaneously. Like, it broke all these fundraising records on Kickstarter, and the movie was made and released. But that was, I think, 2014, something like that. And then no news since then, until now, when Netflix has announced that they are going to release a new season, I suppose a new season of Veronica Mars, which will premiere in July, and it will be 8 episodes long. So Veronica Mars will live again. You fans, stay tuned. I have to admit, I was never a real big Veronica Mars fan. I know, it's weird. I've heard from so many people that Veronica Mars is a series that they thought that I would be a fan of. Considering all of the other TV shows that I like Buffy and Charmed and Gossip Girl and those kinds of things, I love those series. But for whatever reason, Veronica Mars never really appealed to me. I watched a few episodes. I think it's great that Kristen Bell, and it's a, you know, she's a great actress, and I love the idea of a female lead, you know, private eye, and she doesn't have any superpowers. She kind of just figures things out on her own with the help of her friends, kind of like Buffy without the magic powers. So I get it. I get the appeal, but for whatever reason, Veronica Mars just never vibed with me. If there are any Veronica Mars fans out there that want to try and pitch me on it, please reach out, let me know, tell me what I should watch to try and get into it. Otherwise, you guys can enjoy it, and I will just be over here on the sidelines. Last week's podcast, I mentioned that Kylie Minogue had updated her website with a countdown timer, and it was unclear what the timer was counting down to. And just after the publication of last week's podcast, the clock on Kylie's website struck zero, and it was announced that she is releasing a new greatest hits collection. The Step Back in Time Definitive Collection will be released on double CD, double picture vinyl, double color vinyl, and or 5 cassettes. Cassette tapes are trying to make, they're trying to make cassette tapes happen, people. So if you're into cassette tapes, you can pick up Kylie's new greatest hits collection on cassette. The albums will feature only one new song, New York City, which is a pretty decent, you know, Kylie song. It's very classic pop Kylie. It's not completely unheard before. She performed an acoustic version of it on tour, I believe on her Abbey Road Sessions tour, or one of her acoustic tours, maybe it was the Golden Tour. But it's a song that she's performed live before, but the studio version will be released on the Step Back in Time, the Definitive Collection. To be honest, I'm not super amped on this Greatest Hits collection because I have all of Kylie's records, I have all of her singles, I have all the B-sides. Everything on this collection I already have. That being said, I love Kylie. I love vinyl. So I'm probably going to pick up the double vinyl version. I haven't decided if I'm going to go with the picture disc or the colored vinyl. I tend to prefer colored vinyl over picture discs. So I think that that's probably the way I'm going to go. Double color vinyl, Kylie Minogue. And the real big news on Wednesday was that was the night that the Billboard Music Awards, the 2019 Billboard Music Awards, aired. And it was the setting where Madonna premiered live her new song, Medellin, however you pronounce it. It's definitely not Mendelin, Medellin. And Madonna performed live with Maluma, her song partner, and four or five hologram versions of herself. It was reported that she paid, or someone paid, $5 million for that performance. And to be honest, I think the money was misspent. It's kind of cool. I dig the hologram thing. You know, the headline was like, M and the holograms. Like, I love that. It sounds great. The holograms themselves kind of looked less than, I don't know. They just didn't seem that cool. And they were all hologram versions of her now. So it was like Madonna dressed as a accordion player now with a black wig, and Madonna dressed in her wedding dress that she wore in her music video now. You know, maybe if it was like other Madonnas from other eras, that would have been kind of cool. But I have to tell you, I attended the Grammy Awards back in, oh geez, 2000. It had to have been 2006 because her album Confessions on a Dance Floor came out in 2005, and the Grammys happened in the winter, like February, so it had to have been February 2006 or around that time. And Madonna performed with Gorillaz, and she performed with the Gorillaz, and they were holograms on stage. 1 second, I'm going to take a drink of water to keep from choking to death. You know, I've noticed that I've gone through a few podcasts and my throat's gotten a little dry and I could hear it cracking a little bit. So I got to make sure that I keep my throat well lubricated. No jokes, please. So I don't choke while I'm talking to you lovely people. Anyways, I was at that Grammy Awards and she performed with Gorillaz on stage, and it was really cool the way they did it. They had the screen where she was behind the screen and the hologram versions of the Gorillaz were broadcast on the screen. When you watched it from home, it just looked like they were animated on the screen. So in person, we really did see the holograms performing with Madonna on stage. She did Hung Up, and then it went into whatever Gorillaz song was hot at that moment. And that was a very cool performance. Who knows? Maybe this Billboard Music Awards performance looked much cooler in person. I was less than impressed when I saw it on TV, but whatever. Good for Madonna. She did what she wanted to do. She spent $5 million. So the Madam X era continues. Taylor Swift opened the Billboard Music Awards with her performance of Me with her singing partner Brandon Urie from Panic at the Disco. And she brought out a pastel colored marching band. Now, the big talk the next day on social media was that Taylor Swift had ripped off Beyonce's, you know, performance at her Coachella homecoming performance because Beyonce had a marching band. And I'm sorry. My eyeballs just had to roll back into the back of my head because, you know, this whole thing about, you know, Taylor Swift stealing this marching band idea from Beyonce is ridiculous because, in my opinion, marching bands have been used by everybody, going all the way back to Gwen Stefani in the early 2000s with Holla Back Girl. You know, Madonna used the whole marching band majorette thing and on tour. And Taylor Swift herself on the Fearless Tour back in 2009, she had dressed as a drum major and had a marching band thing. So personally, I don't think that Taylor Swift was stealing Beyonce's idea. But, you know, it made me angry to read a lot of these things because I'm just like, come on, people. Can we really not pit these women against one another because that just sucks? Why can't both women just be celebrated and not be dragged by their fans back and forth, you know, for copying one another? You know, Taylor Swift sucks for copying, and then Taylor Swift fans are complaining about Beyonce and her fans. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think it's bullshit that, you know, we always pit women against one another. But my friend Brandon on Facebook, who often likes to criticize Taylor Swift, and I tend to always think it's unfair, made a point where, you know, he was saying that I myself and people who are not African American need to understand that they view Taylor Swift a different way than I do. That they think she's a culture appropriator and all of this sort of thing. It is not my job to tell them, to tell Brandon that he's wrong, because if that's the way he sees it, that's the way he sees it. I don't personally see it, but I can't fault him for the way he feels about it. Because I used to be a Justin Timberlake fan, and now I can't stand the sight of him because I think he is a cultural appropriator. I think that he uses urban music when it's, you know, beneficial to him and to make money, but he doesn't really understand, you know, where that music comes from. And so I understand the criticism of seeing someone as a cultural appropriator. And if that is what, if that is how some people view Taylor Swift, I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it, so I don't fault them. But it's crazy that, you know, we have this is all that people talked about the next day. You know, it wasn't even about, you know, how amazing Beyonce's performance was or whatever. It was just about, like, you know, it was clearly, you know, Taylor was clearly copying up Beyonce, and it was this big whole thing. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is these days. It's just the way it is. With social media, people can say whatever they want, and we will debate anything and everything to death. So, I guess it was to be expected. Another great performance that night was by Paula Abdul. Paula Abdul is my girl. I go back with her from the release of her debut album. She performed a medley of her greatest hits, and the performance that she did at the Billboard Music Awards was very reminiscent of the performance she did at the 1990 American Music Awards, where she performed a medley of her three number one hits at the time. And that performance back in 1990 was so good, she got nominated for an Emmy Award for Best Live Performance, and she won. So her performance in 1990 was so good that she won an Emmy Award for it. So I can see why she would be inspired to do that again all these years later, 30 years later. Wow, almost 30 years later, right? Is that right? Anyways, 20 years later? Anyways, from 1990 to now, she's still killing the game. And after her performance on the Billboard Music Awards, she announced that she's doing a residency in Las Vegas. And I have not seen Paula Abdul live in concert since the early 90s. Paula was the first big show I ever saw in a stadium. So if I can help it, I'm going to get my buns out to Las Vegas to see Paula Abdul perform live at her residency. After the Billboard Music Awards, Sophie Turner, actress Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, and Joe Jonas from the Jonas Brothers, they got married. They got hitched in Las Vegas. They went to a chapel and were married by an Elvis impersonator, and Diplo, the DJ producer Diplo, live streamed their entire wedding ceremony on his Instagram. So at first I thought, wow, that sounds like a bad idea, but I understand the couple wanted to get married legally here in the U.S. first before they have a second ceremony abroad in Europe, in the U.K., I believe. She's British, for their wedding there. So congratulations to Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas. They are newlyweds. That Wednesday night, I made my way out to the Palladium to see Bikini Kill in concert. Bikini Kill, the Riot Girl icons, had performed a couple of shows already at the Palladium before I saw them on Wednesday night, and then they had a show after on Thursday, but I went to the Wednesday night show, and to be honest, I'm not a big Bikini Kill fan, but they are a band that are so important that I felt I needed to see them. My first boyfriend, Steve, was and probably is a huge Riot Girl fan, Riot Girl the genre, and he loved Bikini Kill. So I remember listening to Bikini Kill back when we were together. So, you know, they haven't performed live in 20 years, a long time. So when I saw that they were coming, I had to grab a ticket. The first two shows sold out instantly. I managed to get a ticket for the third show. So that's what I did on Wednesday night. Awesome, awesome show. On Thursday, Disneyland started taking reservations for their new Star Wars land, Galaxy's Edge. At 10 a.m., people logged on to the Disneyland website in the hopes of getting a reservation for so they can visit this part of the Disneyland park that is opening on May 31st. Now, for the first month that Galaxy's Edge is open, it will only be accessible to visitors via reservations. So if you got a reservation, you have 4 hours to play in that area. After the first month, on June 23rd, I believe, then it becomes open to first come, first serve. And at that point, it's going to be like people lining up at the crack of dawn, waiting for 8 hours to get in, I'm sure. So it was very attractive to me to get a reservation for Galaxy's Edge so I can see it or visit it before it becomes, you know, unvisitable. I was successful. I got a reservation for June 9th. And it turns out that a friend of mine also has got a reservation at the same time. So we will be rolling together at Galaxy's Edge on June 9th. I will probably be doing a special podcast about that visit because, as you may or may not know, Galaxy's Edge promises to change the way that we experience theme parks. It is going to be a completely immersive experience where there will be no Disneyland signage, the stores won't have price tags on them, foreign alien languages will be spoken, there'll be no Mickey Mouse anything. Like, it is supposed to be exactly like you're on a foreign planet, a foreign Star Wars planet. So I'm very excited to experience it, and when I do, I will have a full report, so stay tuned. Sad Star Wars news on Thursday was that Peter Mayhew, the man who played Chewbacca from the beginning, passed away at the age of 74. So while so many Star Wars fans were clamoring for Galaxy's Edge reservations, we learned the sad news that Peter Mayhew had passed away. It was also reported that Kelly Clarkson, who hosted the Billboard Music Awards the night before, had her appendix taken out. She had to have an appendectomy surgery on Thursday after she hosted the Billboard Music Awards, which means this woman was in excruciating pain the entire time she hosted the awards. Never let it show once, never complained once. So she's a rock star. She's a boss. I can't believe that she did that, but kudos to her for being an amazingly strong woman. On Thursday, it was also reported that Pornhub expressed interest in buying Tumblr now that Tumblr is going to be up for sale. Now, as you may or may not know, Tumblr had been the unofficial home to, like, porn for, like, the past few years. It was the de facto place to go for free porn and all of this. And I only know this from word of mouth. My friends told me. No, I mean, of course, that's what everybody went to Tumblr for. And within the last few months, Tumblr announced that no more porn. They brought down the hammer, cleaned out all of the porn on their platform, and the users dropped through the floor. Like, nobody was using Tumblr anymore. So for whatever reason, you know, they decided they just going to sell it. And if it goes on up for sale, Pornhub has expressed interest in buying it. And I suspect they want to buy it so they can restore the porn options and let Tumblr thrive in the way that it was thriving before they decided to change their no porn practice. So Tumblr may rise again and Pornhub may bring it to the forefront. The week before, I mentioned in my podcast that a trailer for a live-action animated Sonic the Hedgehog movie was released, and the backlash against that trailer was so severe that fans expressed very publicly how ugly they thought that that Sonic looked in the trailer, that the studio announced last Thursday that they are going to completely revamp the way that Sonic looks in their movie based on all of the negative feedback they got from fans. So one trailer came out fans hated it, and the studio's like, you know what? We're gonna revamp it. We're gonna redo it. We're gonna fix Sonic. So I guess that proves if you don't like something hard enough, you can have an impact on how it turns out. So stay tuned. I'm sure the next time that we see a Sonic the Hedgehog trailer, people will be scrutinizing it to make sure that the animated version of Sonic passes muster. Spinderella, the DJ for Salt and Peppa, announced on her Instagram last Thursday that she has been fired from the group after 30 years. She found out that she was being fired from Salt and Peppa in an email. It turns out that she was let go back in January before it was announced that Salt and Peppa would be going on tour with New Kids on the Block, Tiffany and Debbie Gibson on their mixtape tour. And on Thursday, the first night of the mixtape tour, no announcement had been made that Spinderella had been fired from the group. So Spinderella decided to make the announcement herself. Now, of course she's upset, and she's been very clear that she's upset, but she expected, she says, at least for the group to announce to fans that, for them to announce that they fired her. But since nobody did, she took it out upon herself to alert fans just so fans would know why she wasn't there. So, you know, that's her side of the story, which sounds pretty shitty to me. I'm sure Salt and Peppa have their own side of the story for firing her or parting ways with her, or however they're gonna frame the conversation. But as far as I know, they haven't really released anything or said anything about it. But interestingly enough, after I podcasted about Tiffany a few weeks ago, you know, she released a new version of her song, I Think We're Alone Now, and I mentioned that she's going on tour with Debbie Gibson and New Kids on the Block and Salt and Peppa on the mixtape tour. I got a ticket to see them here at the Hollywood Bowl later this month. So I was pretty excited to see Salt and Peppa. I'm very bummed that Spinderella won't be there, that she's been fired. That kind of sucks. So, but I'll be there, and we'll see how that turns out. Salt and Peppa, I have to tell you, was the very first concert I ever saw. So the first time I ever went to a concert, it was a radio show in Detroit at Pine Knob, our amphitheater. And it was a radio show for 96.3, Power 96. And the headliners were Salt and Peppa, CNC Music Factory, and other cool big acts from like the early 90s. So Salt and Peppa was my first concert. And Spinderella, I saw Spinderella with them back then. So yeah, I will be seeing Salt and Peppa on the mixtape tour this month, but sadly without Spinderella. On Friday, Liz Phair announced that she's releasing a new memoir titled Horror Stories in October. And if you're a Liz Phair fan, this is a book you're going to want to get. In it, she will chronicle, you know, her personal life as a musician, as a female musician in the 90s. I'm sure she's going to talk about all of the things she endured when her indie fan base kind of abandoned her when she, quote unquote, went pop. I'm sure she has other stories that she wants to share that may be upsetting, which is why the album, the memoir is titled Horror Stories. I'm very excited to read what she has to say because I'm a huge Liz Phair fan. I'm most curious to hear what she has to say about her record that she recorded last year with Ryan Adams. Now, Ryan Adams, who is used to be one of my favorite artists, like he really was my favorite male artist, singer-songwriter. But since the allegations came out that he had been, verbally abusive and controlling to female artists for his own gain, his own personal gain, he's kind of persona non grata to me. He's been canceled. I'm kind of over him. But he recorded a record with Liz Phair, which I was super excited about before I knew about his shitty behavior. And, you know, Liz has mentioned that that record will probably never come out. She doesn't want to work with Ryan Adams ever again. So I'm sure that she will talk about what happened when she releases her book. So I'm interested in that only because, I love Liz Phair and I kind of want to know what it was like for her working with, you know, that toxic man. So I'm excited for that book. Very exciting news last Friday. For the first time ever, Miss America, Miss USA, and Miss Teen USA are all Black women for the first time ever. Miss USA, Chelsea Christ, Miss Teen USA, Kaylee Garris, and Miss America, Nia Franklin. They are all reigning beauty pageant queens for our country, and they are all Black, and I love it. Now, you know, I am not a huge fan of beauty pageants. I'm really not at all. But just like I'm not a fan of, you know, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, I can still celebrate the fact that, you know, the swimsuit issue this year will feature a woman wearing a hijab and a burkini. So there's, you know, there's diversity there, and that I can celebrate. And the fact that all three of these beauty pageant queens are Black is something that I am very happy to celebrate. So congratulations to those women for representing our country with their brains and their beauty. On Friday, Britney released photos from a photo shoot that she did recently, and the photos that she released were very reminiscent of the album cover for Janet Jackson's album Control. Now, if you are familiar with Janet Jackson's album Control, it was Janet's first solo album where she wrote everything, and she wrote everything with her producers, and she really produced and released the album without the control of her father or any, you know, male figure in her life. She was taking control. And, you know, there's speculation that Britney is signaling to her fans that she's taking control or something like that. Who knows? But the photos are pretty cool. I love the allusion to the Janet album artwork, so we'll see if anything comes of it. She also released this crazy yoga video on her Instagram where she's doing these insane poses and stretches, and I mean, she's pretty damn remarkable. So all of that is very positive news, but recently, like just in the past day or so, there have been new rumors that her parents are fighting for control of her mental health or something, and a restraining order has reportedly been filed against her former vampire leech manager, Sam Lutfi. Again, he's rearing his ugly head into her life after all these years. So again, we don't really know what's going on, nor should we. If she wants to keep her life private, she should, and we should leave her alone. But when she releases photos and she releases videos, I think it's very fine to comment and celebrate that. So whatever's going on, I hope she's well. We love her. I love you, Britney. And do your thing, girl. Whatever you want to do, do it. The really big news for me personally. So on Friday night, my Instagram friend Patrick, who I have to shout him out, Patrick Stein on Instagram, his handle is Iconoclastic, EYE, Iconoclastic, gave me the heads up that Shakespeare's sister is reuniting for the first time in 30 years. Now, Shakespeare's Sister is one of my favorite groups from the early 90s, made up of Siobhan Fahey from Bananarama and singer-songwriter Marcella Detroit. I mean, there's such a long story about Shakespeare's Sister. Siobhan Fahey was kind of like this, you know, she had her background in punk, and then she joined Bananarama, and they had such huge success in the 80s as a pop group. But then when Bananarama broke up, she decided to do her own solo project called Shakespeare's Sister. Now, it was supposed to be a solo project, but then she teamed up with Marcella Detroit to do like background vocals and some songwriting, and they had success together, and it was determined that they were going to become a duo. Now, I get the sense that neither one of them really wanted to be a duo. You know, Siobhan wanted her solo project to be her own solo project. And Marcella Detroit, who was a solo artist before, you know, always said she just wasn't really interested in stealing someone else's thunder. She just signed on to help and was doing her own thing. But they released an album in 92, I believe, titled Hormonally Yours, and it was a massive, massive hit. The song Stay was a number one song in England for 8 weeks, and it was a massive hit here in the U.S. based on its really creepy, scary music video. So the interesting thing about Stay is it was their biggest hit, but it was a song where Marcella Detroit sang lead. So Siobhan Fahey kind of has this really cool little, you know, part that she sings in the middle, but the whole song is really Marcella Detroit. So I have no doubt that that drove Siobhan crazy. You know, it was her solo project that, you know, reluctantly became a duo project. And then the one massive, massive bit of success they had, it was Marcella's lead vocal single that was their number one hit. Now, I don't blame either one of them, to be quite honest. I don't blame Siobhan for being upset. I don't. Like, it sucks, you know? Like, it was her thing, and I'm sure she wanted to be the star. But I also don't blame Marcella, because she went in to do her job. She did her job so well that it ended up being the most successful thing on the album, you know? So, you know, they had success with that song, and that song kind of broke them up. You know, after all of the success, from what I understand, there was jealousy on Siobhan's part, and at an award show where Shakespeare's sister won an award, Siobhan didn't show up to receive the award, but Marcella was there in the audience, and Siobhan's representative accepted the award and fired Marcella from the group accepting the award on stage, which is so shitty, so shitty. So that's kind of how Shakespeare's sister ended as a duo back in the early 90s. So to hear that they're back together now is really, really, really good news. Siobhan released a statement about this, the reunion, and I'm going to read it to you because it's pretty great. She says, "Neither of us wanted to go into it if there was anything apart from friendship and unity. We did not want a repeat of 1992. Life's too short. I realize what a perfect writing partner Marcella is for me. There's some sort of weird fusion of energies that feels fated. It's like this third party exists that is neither me or her. It's the two of us." So Shakespeare's sister is back together again. They are going on tour in the UK later this year. They're releasing a singles collection that will feature two new songs. So those new songs will be out this summer. And I am praying that they come to the U.S. and play some shows here. Hormonally Yours, the 1992 Shakespeare Sister album, is honestly one of my favorite records of all time. I listen to that record over and over and over from front to back. Constantly. I would sleep to that record. I would put it in my Discman and I would fall asleep to that record night after night after night. So I am a huge Shakespeare Sister fan. I was super, super disappointed when they broke up, and I am super, super excited that they are back together again and planning a reunion. So if you are not familiar with Shakespeare Sister, please find this record. It's on Spotify. Buy the record, buy the vinyl. I have it on vinyl. It might be hard to find on vinyl, but whatever. Listen to this record. It is fantastic. Hormonally Yours by Shakespeare's Sister. Listen to it. Love it. I promise. It is fantastic. On Sunday, the Kentucky Derby happened. Sorry, on Saturday, May 4th, the Kentucky Derby happened. And for the first time ever, the horse that won was disqualified. Maximum Security was disqualified for interference, meaning that the second runner-up, Country House, won this year's Kentucky Derby by disqualification. I don't really understand how. I watched the video. You know, I guess the horse, you know, cut off the other horse. But, I mean, I guess in races, I thought that's what happened. But apparently it is not allowed. So Maximum Security was disqualified for the first time ever, and Country House is the winner. So cool. I spent my Saturday watching Barry on HBO, and Barry is, I'm telling you, it's a great show. I accidentally caught, so Game of Thrones a couple weeks ago, when it was over, I left HBO on and I started watching the next thing that aired, and it was second season, episode 4 of Barry. And it was this crazy shit. I'm like, what is this? What is this? I just kept watching it in awe, and it was so fucking great. And I was like, I need to watch this show. I honestly thought that that was like the first or second episode of the show at all, but it turns out it was, you know, second season, fourth episode. So I spent my Saturday from the very beginning watching all of season one of Barry into season two, getting all caught up, and I love it. It's a movie, it's a show about an assassin, and it has this dark humor vibe that I love about Killing Eve. Now, I will tell you, Killing Eve, I still prefer it. I think it is smarter and more entertaining, but Barry is really, really good. I feel like the one thing I don't love about Barry, it is too unbelievable. Like, it's all these crazy scenarios happen and the right thing or lucky things happen, which, you know, it's kind of like Dexter in that, you know, he keeps getting away with stuff and you're like, that's kind of unbelievable. But, you know, it's not so unbelievable, but I feel like that's the one thing that nags at me. I'm like, oh, he always gets away with everything. So, but Barry, great new show. I love it. I spent my Saturday watching it, so I recommend it. Killing Eve and Barry, those are the two shows. Go watch them. If you don't watch them, watch them. You'll love them. Saturday night, Madonna was honored at the GLAAD Media Awards in New York City. She was awarded the Advocate for Change Award, and during her acceptance speech, she shouted out Christopher Flynn, her high school ballet teacher, as the first gay man that she ever met, and she credits him with being the first man to ever tell her she was beautiful and make her feel like she was valid and had worth. She's always famously talked about how he took her to her first gay club when she was a teenager. Menjo's in Detroit is the club. Menjo's is still around, and I've been to Menjo's, and that place is trashy. But people love going there because that was like Madonna's first gay bar. So she shouted out Christopher Flynn, which is very cool. And he's the one who encouraged her to go to New York for the first time. So, you know, she credits him for really helping her jumpstart her career by giving her at least the inspiration to move to New York and follow her dreams. Now, Madonna has been a gay rights advocate since the beginning. You know, she's had friends who are gay, and she has mourned those friends who have died from AIDS and all of that. So Madonna has been a really big fan for a really big advocate for gay rights for many, many years. So it is understandable that GLAAD would want to honor her with the Advocate for Change Award. So it is well deserved. On Saturday night, I spent my night at the Forum at the evening with the Clintons event. So Bill and Hillary Clinton are going on tour, and they are giving they're speaking publicly about politics and their lives and that sort of thing. And I was so moved by what I saw on Saturday night that I recorded a bonus podcast where I talked just about that night. So after this episode is published, I will be publishing a bonus podcast about my evening with the Clintons. So be on the lookout for that if that is something that sounds of interest to you. On Sunday for Cinco de Mayo, which I feel compelled to remind people is not Mexican Independence Day. Cinco de Mayo celebrates the Battle of Pueblo, where the Mexican resistance fought back against French colonizers. And so that's what Cinco de Mayo is really all about. So Cinco de Mayo is not like about drinking margaritas and doing, partying. It's really about honoring Mexican resistance against colonists. So that's what Cinco de Mayo is. And if you celebrate that, you're doing it right. I decided to spend my Cinco de Mayo at Disneyland with my friends, Dylan and his girlfriend, Naomi. Now, they had never been to Disneyland before, so I had a great time with them, showing them around my favorite things we did the things that they wanted to do. The park was kind of crowded, but we still got to do all of the hits that we wanted. You know, we rode Hyperspace Mountain and the Haunted Mansion. We went into California Adventure for margaritas, and we had a really great day. So any day at Disney is a fun day, and a day that you can go with really good friends on their first visit is an excellent day. That night, Game of Thrones aired their fourth episode. Is that right? And I loved it. You know, I thought it was such a good story with lots of ups and downs. It gave that classic Game of Thrones feel with all those long pauses, and it was tension that built up, and you really didn't know what was going to happen. And at the end, there was a shocking incident. Brienne and Jaime finally smashed. Poor Ghost got ghosted, and Missandei, she got killed, and that leads up to what we're going to see happen in the next week's episode. So next week's episode is supposed to be this big battle between Cersei and Daenerys, woman versus woman, so we're going to see how that turns out. There's been a lot of complaining about, like, Game of Thrones sucks now, and this season sucks, and that episode sucked, and sucks. You know what? People suck. Everybody sucks. You can love Game of Thrones or you cannot. Just enjoy it or not. Like, you know, if I didn't like it, sure, I'd be like, that episode sucked, but I enjoyed it. So I'm just gonna talk about how much that I loved it. My friend Griffin posted on Facebook that he thought that last night's Game of Thrones was one of the best episodes ever. And he wrote this really great, you know, long post about what he liked about it and the ramifications of the actions and all that stuff. So he was an advocate for that episode, and I completely agree with him. So, you know, we only have two more episodes of Game of Thrones left, so why don't we just enjoy it? Let's celebrate what we love and then save our complaining for later, because there'll be plenty of time for that. Emilia Clarke says that next week's episode of Game of Thrones is going to be even bigger than the Battle of Winterfell. So I'm excited for it. I hope you're excited for it too. During that episode, and this kind of goes into Monday, a Starbucks cup was left on the table in front of where Daenerys was sitting. So you could see in the episode that there was a Starbucks cup in the episode, you know, in Westeros, which became this crazy thing online and memes and all of that. Part of me never wants to believe that stuff is real. I'm always like, yeah, sure, that was probably like product placement, but I don't know. You know, it didn't, maybe it wasn't real. HBO found out about it and they digitally edited it out. So if you didn't see it or you don't have it saved somewhere, it has been removed, scrubbed from the episode. So, you know, it's funny. It's funny the sorts of things that make pop culture headlines. A Starbucks cup on a TV show became the talk of the world the following day. On Monday, Madonna announced that she's going on tour. News of this tour leaked on Friday, but it became official on Monday that she's going on she's doing residencies in cities across the country, where she's playing really tiny venues. Here in LA, she's playing the Wiltern, which sounds exciting, except for the fact that A, the tickets are like over $1,000 for the best seats, all the way down, you know, to the 700s and the 500s, and it's ridiculous. And beyond that, you can't even really buy tickets. You have to register your credit card, say you want to buy tickets, say you what you want to buy, and then just wait. They will let you know, oh, if you're selected, we're going to charge your card and you get a ticket. It's such a shitty lottery bullshit that I hate it. You know, the Wiltern did this earlier this year for a show with the Strokes. The Strokes are playing a show and they haven't played in a long time, so there was a lot of demand. So I wanted to get tickets, and it turned out that I couldn't just buy tickets. I had to register my credit card and say that I was interested, and of course I didn't get tickets. So my feeling is, you know, now that Madonna's doing it, that this is probably going to be like the new way. So, you know, if you had a hard time getting tickets before, good luck getting tickets now. So whatever, Madonna's coming on tour, and if you have the thousands of dollars and you're lucky enough, you might get to see her. On Monday, a new trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming, So Far From Home, was released, and it spoils Avengers Endgame. So in the trailer, we learn, and now it's been more than 2 weeks since Avengers Endgame is out, so the spoiler ban has been lifted, so we are now going to start spoiling things. The multiverse is now going to exist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So the multiverse that we learned about in Endgame because of all of that time travel and quantum realm and all of that is going to be explored in Spider-Man So Far From Home. So an exciting thing about this is it's a possible way that X-Men can be introduced into the Marvel Cinematic Universe down the line. So now that Disney owns Fox and all of the Fox properties, including the X-Men movies, all of these Marvel characters can finally live in the same universe by way of this multiverse. So we'll see what comes of it. X-Men will not be appearing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at least for 5 years. So we're not sure how it's going to play out. But Spider-Man So Far From Home will be the first movie to introduce the multiverse. So this is where it starts. So in 5 years' time, or however long it takes, it'll all go back to this movie. Meghan and Harry, Prince Harry, gave birth to their first child, a baby boy. Their little boy is now the 7th in line of succession for the British monarchy. Little Duke of Essex. He doesn't have a name yet, but he is a new royal baby, and congratulations to Meghan and Harry on the birth of their first child. The Met Gala happened on Monday night, and I'm not a big Met Gala person. I'm not a big fashion person, but it is fun to talk about the red carpet looks. My favorite look of the night was Billy Porter. He dressed like the sun, like a sun god, head to toe in gold with big golden wings, and he was carried on the red carpet on a gold bed. He was covered in gold, carried by men draped in gold. So that man was my king. Like, he slayed the red carpet for me. Celine Dion looked amazing. She had plumes on her head. Harry Styles wore sheer sleeves and flowy slacks in a cool gender bending looking outfit. Talia, the Latina singer, I don't know how she got invited, but she was at the Met Gala with this crazy Tracy Turnblad beehive look, which looked odd on her. Emily Blunt looked like she was wrapped in a Ferrero Rocher wrapper, so she looked like a big piece of candy, not in a good way. Janet Mock looked amazing in her mirror ball dress. The Olsen twins looked like their usual scary selves, wearing all black and their dour, sad, droopy faces. Saoirse Ronan looked amazing with her opulent shoulders. I thought she had a great look. Constance Wu was gorgeous with her 20s flapper look. Richard Madden from Game of Thrones looked slick as hell in his fitted black suit. I thought he looked great, but then the more and more I see that other guys wore boring black suits, was kind of like, come on guys, you're at the Met Gala, do something more fun. Do something fun, like Ezra Miller, who showed up wearing this crazy outfit with like 8 eyes painted on his face. So he had like 6 eyes painted in addition to his 2 real eyes. It was a really, really cool look. The theme this year was camp, and he really camped it up. So he was one of my favorites. Huma Abedin looked amazing. Hillary Clinton's best friends in her little yellow floral gown. I loved Anna Wintour's feathery look. I hated Katy Perry's chandelier look. Like, she looked like Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast. So her chandelier look was a miss for me. I don't know anyone who really liked her outfit. So I don't know. Katy, whatever. Like, I'm not a fan. I don't want to really diss her, but I just think she tries too hard and it never works. Janelle Monáe had this really great outfit that Christian Siriano designed for her with this eye. Her boob was an eye and it winked. So cute. Kacey Musgraves dressed as Malibu Barbie. Jared Leto had an outfit where he carried his own head. Lupita Nyong'o looked like she belonged in the Hunger Games. And Zendaya, let me tell you about Zendaya. So Zendaya shows up on the red carpet, and she came kind of late in the red carpet. So, you know, she was kind of like fashionably late, and she was dressed like Cinderella, and she looked amazing. She had like this beautiful blue dress, and it lit up, and her makeup was on point. Like, it was very much a Cinderella Disney moment. get this, she left one of her shoes on the red carpet. Like, she did that. Part of her whole thing, her whole camp look, was to look like Cinderella and then leave her shoe on the red carpet. Fabulous. I loved it. And the funny thing that I have to mention is there are other people in attendance, those who shall not be named. And if you remember, when I did my blog, I hated talking about the members of this family. I even hate to say their name. It starts with a K. I'm not a fan of any of them. And my whole thing is, like, if I don't like something, I just don't talk about it. So I'm not going to sit here and trash them. And I never will, because I'd rather talk about people and things that I enjoy rather than wasting my time complaining about people that I don't. But Zendaya shows up looking like Cinderella, and accidentally or ironically or maybe karmically, two of the other members of this family really looked like evil stepsisters, and their mother looked like the evil stepmother. So it was just hilarious. If you think about the narrative of, like, the evil stepmother and the evil stepsisters showing up to the ball looking as ridiculous as they do, and then Cinderella shows up in the form of Zendaya to snatch all of their wigs. Living for it. Completely accidental, not intentional, but meant to be, and I loved it. So, you know, as much as, you know, the Met Gala isn't really my thing, these kind of little narratives and these kind of little pop culture moments are fun for me. Cardi B showed up wearing this opulent big red dress with this long train. I mean, she looked like, you know, a menstrual queen. Like, people are saying she was, like, channeling, like, menstruation and just big bloody womanness. And I can't say I disagree. So Cardi B, queen, do your thing in all your menstrual glory. Lizzo, who is a new, you know, singer who's making a splash, plus size woman who is beautiful and funny as hell, she showed up to the Met Gala in a fabulous outfit. And it wasn't so much what she wore last night that got people talking. It was that she loved her outfit so much that she wore it again today. So she decided that she wasn't done wearing her fabulous outfit. She wore it again today to the airport. So she was walking through the airport with her big flowy, drapey top with feathers and, you know, and living her best life. So Lizzo, you're a queen. You keep doing your thing. I love you. Lizzo is actually going on tour this year. She played Coachella, and I hate Coachella, so I didn't see her at Coachella, but she is going on tour, and I got tickets to see her here at the Hollywood Palladium in October. So you will be hearing more about Lizzo from me as the year continues. So today, the sad news today for Tuesday, or the sad news for Tuesday, was that there was a school shooting at a Denver high school just 7 miles from Columbine, where 20 years ago, the Columbine school shooting changed the face of America for the worse. If you recall, when Columbine happened, you know, we really weren't used to all these school shootings. And in the 20 years since, there just have been more and more and more and more school shootings. So today, another school shooting. It's another day in America, and I hate saying that, but it's the truth. 8 students were shot at last report, and one of them passed away. An 18-year-old was killed today at a school shooting. 2 suspects are in custody, both of them students. So these suspects are alleged to have orchestrated the school shooting in Denver today. And my thoughts and condolences go to the family and friends of the people who suffered today. It is horrible, but to be honest, it's what we've just become used to. So as much as I don't love talking about these sorts of things, it's what's happening. I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. So that's what happened Tuesday. In happier news, Disney announced that there will be 3 new Star Wars movies coming out starting in 2022, and they will be alternating every other year with a new Avatar movie. So the next Avatar movie will come after the first Star Wars movie in 2022, and then a Star Wars movie the next year, and then an Avatar movie the next year, and then a Star Wars movie the next year, and then an Avatar movie the next year. That's a lot of Star Wars and Avatar. To be honest, I'm already feeling burnt out on Star Wars. There's a new one coming out this year that I'm kind of like, meh. But, you know, I'm going to go. We'll see. You know, in these three new Star Wars movies, you know, we'll see. A new trilogy might be great, might be not. Avatar, I really don't care. I didn't love the first movie. I have no real interest in seeing a sequel or a third movie or a fourth movie or a fifth movie. So, yeah, Star Wars and Avatar's movies are coming, whether you want them or not. The CW announced that they have ordered a new series that will star Batwoman. Batwoman, who is the first lesbian superhero character to have her own TV series. So Batwoman, lesbian superhero, is coming to the CW. They also announced that Riverdale is getting a new spinoff. Based on the character Katie Keene, and both Batwoman and the Katie Keene series will be produced by Greg Berlanti, who has been the producer for Supergirl and Flash and Arrow and all of the other DC shows on the CW. So I am very encouraged by that. I'm not a huge Batwoman fan as much as I love Batman, but I'm looking forward to this series. It'll be cool to have a new Bat hero on the scene, and the fact that it is a lesbian woman is very attractive to me. The CW also announced that they're going to be releasing a new Nancy Drew series based on the Nancy Drew books, and that show will be produced by the people who brought us Gossip Girl. So new shows coming up on the CW, which all sound very promising. And the last thing that I want to mention, so that's the week in news. And the last thing I want to mention is that actress Maisie Williams, has launched her own podcast called Thinking Big. So now that I'm doing a podcast, I'm trying to get into listening to other podcasts. I don't listen to too many other pop culture ones because I don't want to be influenced. I mentioned that before. But I'm kind of trying to listen to other podcasts just to get a sense of, like, you know, what else is out there. So Maisie Williams has a podcast that she released in the last couple of weeks. There's one episode out, Thinking Big. The Clintons, Bill and Hillary Clinton, have released a podcast titled Why Am I Telling You This? So perhaps in conjunction with the speaking tour that they're doing this year, they've decided they want to put out a podcast for people who don't come see them. So if you're a fan of the Clintons, Why Am I Telling You This is the name of their podcast. And my friend Mark Vieira, who, I mean, we're friends, maybe we're acquaintances, but we're friends, we're social media friends. We met at a concert, we had a mutual friend in common, and I see him at shows all the time. Like, we go to the same shows, but he lives in the OC and we don't really see each other a lot, but I do see him at shows. He has launched his own podcast called Talk Among Us. Now, he's one of my favorite, like, punk, hardcore music fans. Like, I love his taste in music. And Talk Among Us is a brilliant name. It's an allusion to the Misfits album Walk Among Us, which I think is genius. So his podcast is about pop culture too, but like from that type of hardcore music point of view. He's a fan of comics and that kind of stuff. So if any of these sound interesting to you, you should go check them out. Maisie Williams, Thinking Big, The Clintons, Why Am I Talking to You About This, and Mark Vieira's Talk Among Us. All of those podcasts can be found on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So check them out. And if you like my podcast, you should subscribe. You should leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. Tell me what you like about it. Tell me what you don't like about it. Tell your friends to check it out. I'm having a great time doing it, and I want to keep doing it. So let's keep this party going. If there's anything you want to hit me up with, you could hit me up on social media. You know all the channels. At Trent Venegas on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or Pink is the New Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and Pink is the New Pod on Twitter. Hit me up. Let me know what you think. Yeah. So that's another week in the books, and I'm all ready. I'm already planning what I want to talk about next week. I have some friends who are doing some cool things, and I have some things on my calendar that I can't wait to experience and talk about. So the party continues. I hope you had a great week. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Stay tuned for that bonus episode coming out later today about my evening with the Clintons, and hit me up on social media. Tell me what you think. Tell your friends to take a listen. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. I will talk to you guys next week. Have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you then. Bye.